The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, with the word of wisdom from our Father, in Jesus' name, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So here we have the origin of the church at Corinth. In the last chapter, we saw the origin of the church at Thessalonica. And also in the last chapter, let's go back there just for a moment, and verse 29 of chapter 17 says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, God created all the souls, and regardless of your ethnicity, God is your Father, and the way to return to Him is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all are one in Christ Jesus. We ought not to think that the Godhead, the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." And this word graven is number 5480 in your Greek dictionary of your Strong's Concordance, and it also appears in Revelation chapter 13, where it says, "He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark," that's 5480, same word translated as graven in Acts 17:29, "in their right hand or in their foreheads." What's in your forehead? Your mind. It's a mark of deception. It's the opposite of the seal of God. The positive is the seal of God. That's the truth of God's word in your mind, whereby you're not deceived. The negative is the mark of the beast, which is the deception, the lack of information that causes one to worship the devil, thinking that he's Jesus returned. And Satan has a cheap fabric imitation of the Godhead. He has an anti-Godhead, if you will, an unholy trinity of the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast. Our Father has three offices, one God, three offices. That's the positive, obviously, and Satan has a cheap fabric imitation, a ripoff of that. The dragon, the false prophet, which is his role of Antichrist, and the beast. And you'll see those three mentioned in Revelation chapter 16, Satan's unholy trinity. And that's when Satan appears, and that's when they receive that mark of the beast in their right hand or in their foreheads. So with that having been said, let's continue with Acts chapter 18 and verse 2. "And found a certain Jew," Paul did, "after he departed from Athens and came to Corinth, named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews," all Iudas in the Greek, "to depart from Rome, and came unto them." Now, I keep saying that Iudas can mean either one of the tribe of Judah or a resident of Judea. It can also mean a practitioner of Judaism, a co-religionist. The Kenites began to call themselves Jews whenever they returned from Babylon with Ezra and Nehemiah. They were the Nethinim then, and they infiltrated the priesthood, becoming the scribes and Pharisees. Christ identifies them in Matthew chapter 23 as the generation of vipers, the serpent seed. And if you go to page 38 of your Greek dictionary of your Strong's Concordance, you'll see from numbers 2448 to about number 2455 the different renderings of this word. Iudas is 2455. What does that say? The name of 10 Israelites, also of the posterity of one of them and its region. So it can mean geographically. It can either mean biologically from Judah, from the tribe of Judah, or of Judea, geographically. Just like if you were from California and moved to Texas, you would then be a Texan, but you're originally from California. Same kind of thing. Now let's go to the Hebrew, and on page 47 of your Hebrew and Chaldee dictionary, you'll see number 3063, Jehuda or Judah, the name of 5 Israelites, also of the tribe descended from the first, and of its territory, Judah. Then the next one down, 3064, you see it says Jehudite, Judahite or Jew or descendant of Jehuda. So it's either geographical or biological, that word Jew. And the Kenites began to call themselves Jews, that synagogue of Satan that you can read of in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. You'll know them by their fruits, and as we've covered in the book of Acts repeatedly, there's a group that starts stirring up trouble trying to stop the gospel from being preached. Are those the fruits of good people that are the children of God? Or is that the work of the devil? And it wasn't just the Kenites. They were the ringleaders all the time, but there were plenty of co-conspirators, plenty of co-religionists, okay? So just so you understand, you know them by their fruits, and a Kenite can convert to Christianity, never forget that either. So verse 3, returning to Acts chapter 18, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, Paul abode with Priscilla and Aquila, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers, so was Paul. They were all tent makers, so they worked together. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews, Iudas, and the Greeks, the Gentiles. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And they opposed themselves and blasphemed. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are the synagogue of Satan. You know them by their fruit, is my point here. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. The whole point of this mission, to convert whosoever will to Christianity, which is not a religion but a reality. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them, as commanded by Christ himself. Again he said, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Plant those seeds of truth now, while there's still time. For I am with thee. God will never leave you nor forsake you, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Even when Satan's fallen angels are cast out of heaven with him at the beginning of that 5 month period, they can't hurt those with the seal of God in their forehead. They can't kill anybody. All they can do is deceive. And that leads up to the middle of that 5 months, the woe of the sixth trumpet, the woe of the fifth trumpet being whenever they were cast out of heaven unto the earth. But Satan won't appear until the midst of the week. But now it's been shortened to 5 months, so in the midst of the 5 months, Satan shall appear in Jerusalem, claiming to be Christ's return, and at that time, during that whole 5 month period, they can only hurt those who have not the seal of God in their forehead. So they're an army of deception. They don't physically kill people, they spiritually kill people. But they can't kill you spiritually if you know who they are, if you have the seal of God in your forehead, the truth of God's word in your mind. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. Guess who this Iudas is? You have to test their fruit. What's their fruit here? They made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Why would they do this? Because the works of their father they will do. Not just the Kenites, but their co-religionists as well. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan's family tree. There's adoption going on with that tree as well, because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is Satan. It's Satan's family tree. It has natural branches, the Kenites, but it has those grafted on. It's the opposite of Romans 11, where it speaks of the tree of life, God's family tree, Christianity. It has natural branches because Christ came from the tribes, but a member of the tribes must convert to Christianity to be a part of that tree because God divorced Israel, and the wild olive branches that are grafted in are the Gentiles, and all are one in Christ Jesus. So again, a positive, the tree of life, God's family tree, and the negative, Satan's family tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Both have natural branches. Both have an adoption program, if that helps you understand. And many will be grafted on to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is to say, Satan's family tree, thinking that it's the tree of life, but it isn't. Because of their ignorance, they'll be deceived and die spiritually, and cease to be a virgin bride, speaking spiritually, and become the whore of Babylon. Babylon means confusion. And the spiritual meaning there is you're supposed to remain faithful to Christ until he returns, as a virgin would, awaiting for her husband. Wait for the true husband. Don't be deceived by the fake one, the fake Christ. So when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law," which isn't true at all. This is a false accusation. Why? Where was the threat? And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, who you'll see mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, the chief ruler of the synagogues, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. And Paul calls this one Sosthenes a brother in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. If that's the same Sosthenes, then there you have it. And I would imagine it is. He is at Corinth, after all. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, back to Acts chapter 18, verse 18, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, the vow of a Nazarite. And you can read more about this later on in verse 24 of chapter 21 of this book of Acts. And to continue with chapter 18 and verse 19, and he came to Ephesus, and now the epistle to the Ephesians is connected to this chapter as well, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. And perhaps this is why it's mentioned that Christ became our Passover in the fifth chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians. May have very well been Passover that he's talking about here. And remember in the last chapter, in chapter 17, in verse 2, three Sabbath days are mentioned there, and we went into it whenever we covered that chapter, but I wanted to drive the point home from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, that Christ became our Passover, and the Passover is the high Sabbath of Christianity, meaning Christ became our Sabbath, our rest. Sabbath means rest. Just wanted to mention that again, and 777 is what you have there. That being nailed to the cross as an ordinance because Christ fulfilled it, becoming our Sabbath, but it stands in the law as a shadow of things to come, even now, because what are we looking at in this end generation? Six trumpets of deception followed by the seventh trumpet whenever the true Christ returns and brings rest to the world, rest to those who love him. Again, Sabbath means rest, and all throughout God's word you see that pattern. Six coming before seven, six, seven, six, seven, all the way back in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. You see 6 days of creation and then a seventh day of rest. And in Joshua, seven priests with seven trumpets on the seventh day sounded the trumpets, and then the walls of Jericho came a tumbling down, also a type, obviously. And you see it over and over again. Six, seven, six, seven, a continuous pattern throughout the Word of God. And so shall it be in this end generation. Six trumpets of deception, and then finally Satan appears at the sixth trumpet, and then you'll have all six trumpets sounding at the same time, and then after the tribulation of those days, the true Christ returns, and the tribulation of Almighty God begins. So to repeat verse 19 of Acts chapter 18, "And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus." And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And this was the first place where people were called Christians. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia. Now the epistle to the Galatians comes into it. And Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew, Iudas, named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, well learned, that is to say, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, explaining to him the fulfillment of the prophecy of Messiah, and that Christ's advent had transpired. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, the Iudas, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And there you have it, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18.